This podcast is suitable for students between the ages of 16 to 25. If you're interested in self-improvement, productivity, study tips, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome to the Sweet and Sour Podcast.
My name is Abdumumuni Hikmat. I'm a student just like you. I'm passionate about personal development and productivity. So, if this is your first time listening to this amazing voice, don't make it your last. If not, sweetie, you know how we roll now.
Let me hear you say H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Sweet and Sour Podcast. On today's episode, I'm bringing to you a very new, interesting series titled the Med School Reality Series. It's been a very long time. I miss you guys so much. This series is actually brought to you by APVA, Association of African Podcast and Voice Artists Awards, and Resound Desire. Keep listening. Thank you. The Med School Reality Series is a series where you get to navigate through and go on a journey with me as we explore the medical student's life in Nigeria, the life of a medical student in Nigeria, basically, and how they've been able to go through ups and downs, you know, become how the journey basically of becoming a medical doctor, something like that. So if you're someone who wants to be a medical student, or you want to be a medical doctor, or you're already a medical student, or you just want to find out what goes on, like, basically in the lives of these people, yeah, this series is for you. And let me tell you what's going to be happening on this series. Basically, I'm going to be featuring five interesting guests, and each of them are from different levels. So we're starting from 200 level, because basically 200 level is like med school proper in Nigeria. And so that's why we're starting from 200 level. So 100 level folks, please don't be upset. And on today's episode, I have with me my very, very first guest. Thank you so much for joining me. She's a 200 level student, and yeah, that's the most important thing you're supposed to know. Thank you so much for joining. I'll leave her to introduce herself. Please introduce yourself to my audience.
Okay, hello guys. My name is Khadija Tumfumi, and it's nice meeting you all.
All right, Khadija, thank you so much for joining me today. There's something I like to do. Can you tell me three things you're grateful for today?
Okay, Alhamdulillah, I'm actually grateful for a lot of things at this point currently in my life, for being where I am today, for having people that are strongly supportive around me, and for being alive in general. That's such a wonderful gift, and I feel like people should appreciate that more.
Wow. Okay, so medical school is a hassle, honestly, like okay, so where do I start? Okay, Let me start with this question. How long did it take before you got into medical school?
Okay, so I finished in 2016 and I got admitted 2020, but we didn't start school till 2021 because of COVID. So that's roughly like 4 years, right? Isn't that?
2016 till 2020, yeah, that's
roughly 4 years. So yeah, I stayed at home for 4 years.
And how was that experience? Oh my god.
Very, I can't say horrifying, but it wasn't nice.
Okay, so with medical school, if you did not know, so there's this thing like medical students, right? Like, it's not your regular test. I can't even tell you it's a test, because it's just as if you're preparing for an exam, honestly. And so they call it in-courses. And yeah, so what in-course gave you the most fright?
What in-course gave me the most fright? I'd say two, actually. The first and second one, because I hadn't gotten into the groove of things. Like, I was, like, so scared that I would, like, fail. And then, if you know anything about medical school, failure starts actually from your in-courses. Like, you have to have had, like, your in-courses are like a saving grace. It's so important that from the start, from the get-go, you're already, like, keeping a strong in-course record, because it will help you so much, especially when sometimes exams can turn out shitty.
I see.
So, like, my first two in courses, the first one was a theory in physiology. So I actually did my best and I passed. The second one, what scared me about that one was not because of it was an in course in itself. It was because it was like three in courses combined in one.
And it was MCQ, right?
And it was MCQ. There was theory too. MCQ and theory. And then the time, like, it wasn't one sitting. It wasn't like, okay, you've got 1 hour for blood. Then after you're done with blood, you'll do cell or something like that. They gave you everything at once. You're expected to answer all three in the same timeline. And, like, no one was, like, managing the time for you. You had to manage it for yourself. Like, so if you spent too long on one, forgetting the other two, you're doomed. And, like, three in courses, that was scary.
Oh, my God. So, oh, my God. Wow, medical school is not easy. Now you're in medicine. The big question is, if you weren't in medicine, what else would you be doing?
It's either I had completely given up on getting into the medical field, or there was actually one thing I was, like, considering at one point. That was physiotherapy. I was like, maybe I could try getting into, like, physiotherapy. But that 2020, that year, I had actually, like, been like, okay, if I don't get in this year, I'm not writing jump again. I actually told my dad categorically that. He was like, okay, we'll think of something. I told him, I'm not writing jump again. If they don't
in get whatever me, you're thinking of, yeah, don't think of jump.
I'm not writing jump again. Oh, we'll think of something else. I'm not writing jump again.
Oh,
that was the decision I had made then. And actually, my name didn't come out with the first list. And then I was already like, as expected, because actually, both me and my sister applied to get into the same university, but her for another course. She was applying for civil engineering, and her name came out in the first list. And I was already like,
"Not my name is not coming out.
We have to think of something else to do." But then, alhamdulillah, my name came out. I think, was it in the second list or third? And then my name eventually did come out. And more like, it was more of like a relief, not love, not like mind-blowing joy.
Yeah.
It was more of like, okay.
Alhamdulillah.
A relief, because even though I did feel like, okay, the struggles were over then, I kind of still had a shadow on the back of my mind that, okay, we're getting into a whole new set of struggles, but I didn't know exactly what I was getting into until I got to school and they told me that if you get 1D, you're out.
God, I beg.
So, Kai, it was not easy.
I think one thing people would actually like to know is how did you feel when you first saw Ikadawa? Okay, so for those who don't know, Ikadawa is, what is Ikadawa, Khadija?
It's the dead bodies that medical students used to use in anatomy practicals. Yeah, that's what it is.
So, what was your first impression? And, you know, did you faint?
I didn't faint, actually. It was actually surreal. It was not as... It was anticlimactic. I felt like, oh, it would be... Maybe because
of the embalming?
Yeah, it didn't feel real. Yeah, so when you think of a person that has died, that's actually not what comes to mind. That image, like, it felt removed from reality. Like, it didn't feel like a dead body to me. Honestly, still doesn't feel like a dead body to me. Maybe I'll get the shock when I really see a person that has just died recently. But till this point, yeah, cadavers don't scare me. I wasn't scared, actually.
Okay, so the next thing I'll be asking you is studying and your mental health. Because, like, medicine is, like, a very challenging course, I must say, because I don't say noisy. You know, you'd have to... one thing I would tell someone is, honestly, I don't feel like you have to be the smartest. I just feel like you have to know yourself and you have to know what works for you. And so that's how I'm the question is, how are you able to balance your like mental health and study medicine and, you know, just like keeping it cool and not losing it?
At this point, I'll be like, what's mental health? I feel like for me, what makes me not lose it is that every time I've done my best for the in course and then results come out and then I'm like, okay, you did well in this one, on to the next one. Like, that's what I do. And then I try, like, it's actually easy to fall, like, once you've gotten used to in courses, it's actually easy to like relegate them, to give them less importance than they actually deserve. And I try really hard to not let myself fall into that pit. Like, each time an in course is coming, like, no matter how annoying that course feels or how tiring that topic is, I really try my hardest to know everything I should know before the in course, so that when I do write the in course, I feel like vindicated that, yes, I tried my best. So even if things don't turn out how I, because Hikmas would know that I'm a gambler. If I didn't gamble, I think my results would be better than mm-hmm. they are. But like, I do gamble. In my school, if you don't understand what I'm saying, like, there's negative marking when it comes to writing MCQs. So if you get wrong, depending on which department, it actually is, it's either they minus half a mark or a whole mark, or even
more than your mark.
Or even more. We're telling you horrors here.
Oh my God.
Or even more. So you actually don't want to go about picking answers to questions you don't know. As I say, I'm a gambler. I don't learn. So I'm a gambler. No, so.
But I feel like this shit is like, it's like, well, okay, let me ask what I do. Then I'm like, this one, it looks like I know it. And if I know it, like, that's just plus one mark. And then if you answer, so you'll be like, okay, I think I know this one. If I don't know it, at least these two, they'll just go like...
That's the point. They are actually kind of like questions that you know, but you don't know the answer. Like, you know the questions, but you don't know the answer. And then at the end of the day, maybe there are like two answers that are like jumping out to you. And then you have to make a choice and you just pick one. Like, it's not... Anyways, so like, I don't know, to let myself feel defeated. Because, or even if I do, I can actually like give myself that day off. Like, okay, you're feeling shitty. Because I actually, I'm a person that's very sensitive to my own emotions. You know, some people be like, ah, they're feeling down. They don't know why they're feeling down. If I tell you that, I don't know why, I'm lying to you. I know why. I know exactly what made me feel horrible that day.
You know, come to actually think of it, I think a lot of people know why they are feeling down, but they don't want to admit that that's why they are feeling.
So, like, I'm very sensitive to my own emotions. Like, so if it gets to a point where, like, the pressure has built up, I feel like sometimes I just allow myself to feel shitty for that day. Like, yes. But then the next day, I feel like, okay, this is a new day. You can do well. You can, like, push through. So that's what I do. And then sometimes the work can be overwhelming, but you have to do what you can do. That's...
So, moving further, like, eventually when you become a doctor, do you have, do you have what you want to do in mind? Like, maybe you want to specialize? Or, you know, like, I feel like when we're small, it's like this big dream of, oh my God, Ben Carson, dream big, I want to be a neurosurgeon. Bro, it's not that easy.
There's one thing I've never been disillusioned about, even with how fantastic neurosurgery is. I've never dreamt of being one, because I know that it would be so damn, like, you have to like put in.
I feel like when I think of neurosurgery, precision, like. When you actually look at the image of the brain...
Truly speaking, let me tell you something. I don't really like the brain. And I'm already having horrors down for when we're going to do, like...
Neuroanatomy
yeah. In 300 level. But I don't really like... I don't think I like...
No. You know what? For me, but I feel like it's just weird how, like, oh my God, if during a surgery, one particular sport is hit, you might be finished.
I don't like the pinnacle of its complexity. It's such a fascinating.
Honestly, it's very it's really fascinating, honestly.
Because there was one thing I saw that they were talking about how, like, it's a different part of the brain, like, you used to express yourself, and a different part of the brain you used to, like, get in, like, taking the things you're hearing or reading. And, like, so, and, it, like, that part of the brain is actually what you used to write. The part that speaks is different. So there was an experiment that was conducted, like, the person, the two parts were, like, disconnected. They were asking him questions. What he was saying and the reply to that question was different from what he was writing.
Yeah.
And it was the same person. The person didn't have anything like split personality.
But it just showed you
there was no disorder. It was just that they disconnected the part. Like, you just, that's, they just disconnected the, like,
oh my God, wow. I think another thing I was really amazed was, I have actually been amazed to see was how small the heart was.
Ooh.
You get, like, you know how, like, everybody just shows love and, like, oh my God, and then you find that.
But I've actually always known
that it was that small.
Your heart is roughly the size of your fist.
Wow.
And that your brain is roughly the size of two fists put together. Yes, I've always known it.
Oh my God.
I'll be like, wow, my heart is small.
Your heart is small, right? Oh my God. My heart is so, please, you guys, my heart is so fragile. Nobody should break it. Thank you. So, I would like you to give an advice to someone who has been struggling to write jump. You know, jump has been jamming the person, and now this time, just imagine, like, someone like yourself, and, like, you know, what would you say to someone who is like you, like someone who you were back then, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
I would actually say, go as far as you can. Like, medicine isn't the only way. Do you understand? It isn't the only path to success. And I actually feel like, unless you're getting into all of these politics through medicine, like, how much success can you actually get at the end of the day? Like, and that success will actually come with, I feel like, way more sacrifice than you would in any other field if you want to get, like, a very high level of success. Like, truly, medicine isn't the only way.
Yeah,
I feel like, if now you really feel like medicine, it's medicine and nothing else, you can push as hard as you can, try as many times as you can. But when you're at your limit, it's not the end of the world if you say, okay, this is it for me. You haven't failed, you're just taking another path in life. So try your best. The Nigerian system can be so shitty.
It is shitty, honestly.
Like, so shitty. Like, the first time I wrote jump, actually, I didn't pass enough. So I feel like that whole year, I was actually filled with a lot of self-blame. As I had told Hikmat, anytime something goes wrong, I always firstly look at it like it's my fault. So I was full of self-blame throughout that year. So the second year that I passed more, I got enough to get into medicine. At that point, I got 250 something. And at that point, medicine cutoff line is not as high as it is now. That's like 270, like, you get. So then it was actually still like 240. So I felt vindicated. Like, finally, this time, even if I don't get admitted, it's not my fault. Like, it's the system. I don't have to blame myself. So, like, the Nigerian system can be so bad. And the funny thing about it is that if they don't give you admission, can't they let you know so that you can move on with your life, start planning everything else? For that whole period where they're, like, giving out admission, your life is on, like, standstill. If they give you rejection letters,
it will be better, honestly, because some people still, like, hope. Yeah. They still clutch onto the fact that, okay, they might still be giving admission. Because, you
know, admission can go on for so long. Like, sometimes some university, they will even be giving admission, like, still giving admission 1 week before exams.
Yeah.
Like, it's so depressing.
And devastating, then, yes.
And then sometimes you miss the window to actually even register for another jam. That happened to me 1 year. I missed the window to register for another jam because I was waiting for the university I had applied to. and I had gotten like so like really high marks that year. That was the year I got 281. Like, and it wasn't a good feeling at all.
So on all in all, just try your best if you're trying to get into medicine. And even if you don't get into medicine, it doesn't mean like you're a failure, because obviously like people place this high pedestal, like it just places high.
And there are other ways to get into the medical field, not just by being a doctor.
Yeah. So people place this high, you know,
regard
actually for medical school and everything. Obviously, like yeah, it's really what it's at. Like even now, I don't even if you know what people are actually going through.
People don't know the whole reality of when they get into medicine.
Yes, yes, that's like it looks glamorous.
It's hard to get into, and it's hard to keep going.
Yes, like you know, it messes with a lot of. See, if you, oh my god,
like
subhanallah, school, subhanallah.
The first year, in 100 level, if you get 1 D, you're out. I got a D. It was so devastating. But one thing I was lucky about is that in our year, they didn't admit a lot of people. We just admitted 60 students for medicine. And that year, our quota was like 50. So, like, going to the right people, writing the right letters, I was able to evade that. They reviewed our scores, and I eventually ended up getting a C in the course. So that problem, but when that problem was happening, I had palpitations, like, I was not in the right place. Like, you know, I passed second semester more than first semester 100 level. Yeah. But I did not read as much as first semester. Because my brain was not, I wasn't in the right place mentally. Because it was just, that D was, like, so glaring. It felt like a blemish. Yes, it was so glaring. Because in our school, they're like, even if you're in first class and if you have a D, you have less qualification to enter the second year than a person that had C's all through. So it was not about CGPA.
Yeah, it never is about CGPA. It's just about 50, bro. It's just
in
about
other schools.
Yeah, CGPA counts.
CGPA counts. In other schools, CGPA counts.
Oh my god, it really, honestly, if you see a medical student right now, everything, you know what, they just pray, go at least 50.
You get to 200 level and they tell you, okay, you're doing 3 courses. If you fail even one of them, just one of them, you will repeat. And let me tell you, Hikmat, from the moment I stepped into 200 level, every class will have it, especially those practical classes. My brain keeps telling me, so if a person repeats, you have to go through this again. God forbid. Like, I would do, like, that was one of the, like, proper driving forces for, like, my reading in 200 level. I look for something else in 300 level, but that was really it, because it was not a good, God, I was you don't even know where to start.
In the beginning, you would first be disoriented. You would be like, oh my God. The feeling is, it's one thing to be like feeling all these things when you're like properly like with your set people and you're doing this. And then you actually have to do, yes, and you actually have to do it by yourself. SubhanAllah. Okay, guys, Khadija, it's really been amazing having you here.
It's like, been great to be here.
It's been interesting talking to you. And thank you guys so much for listening. Share with your friends. Follow us on Instagram at Sweden Support. If you want to see Khadija's face, you can go to Instagram. I'm going to post short videos. You guys, this is not a video podcast or whatever people are doing now. So that's why, like, I don't get to show you I don't get to open a YouTube channel and start like putting the whole videos. It's a podcast. You're not supposed to see our faces anyway. But then there are short clips I made, and then I'm going to be putting them on Instagram. So if you're interested in that, you can check Instagram. Also, remember that this episode, this whole series was brought to you by APVA and Resound Desire. Stay blessed.